Book of Hebrews is the book we're studying this winter. This morning we're concluding the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we'll be thinking of this subject: you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teachers. It's a phrase that's taken out of our scripture reading this morning as we look at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul has been teaching this Hebrew assembly many truths about Jesus Christ. He's taught them that Christ is their high priest. And he has taught them that they are to enter in to a rest, which is a time of service to Almighty God. That they must hold fast their profession of faith. Paul wanted to teach them many more truths. They did not know all they needed to know about Jesus Christ by simply being born again. Because they had learned truth, and then because they had neglected that truth, they had forgotten that truth. And now they were again forced to learn that truth again. And in their immaturity, they had become childless. And in their ignorance, they had become slothful and lazy. And as we consider their spiritual state, that of immaturity, we understand that the burden of their immaturity, that is the cause of their immaturity, must fall upon themselves rather than others. And I mention that because one of the symptoms of the perverted thinking that exists in our society today is that everyone else is to blame for who I am. And if everyone else would take their responsibility as they should, then I wouldn't be who I am. And I think as we consider the biography of those who have counted most in our country, as we look at the biographical information of those who have done the great things of our world to make it a world of scientific advancement, in most areas, we consider that here are people who assumed responsibility for themselves and who guided their own selves into a time of sacrifice and study. So I don't want to blame the church, quote, for these people being who they weren't. And I think that's the most popular thing we have today in the religious world, is to blame the church. Let's blame the church. Let's blame the church because of the ignorance that's in the world. If the church would do what it should, there wouldn't be this kind of ignorance. Let's blame the church for one-parent families. If the church did what it should, then we wouldn't have the teenage pregnancies that are in the world. Let's blame the church. If the church would do what it should, we wouldn't have the homeless roaming the streets. If the church would do what it should, we wouldn't have young people living their lives without direction. And the world is content to blame the church. Let's blame the church. Now, Paul didn't blame the church. Paul didn't blame himself. Paul didn't say, "I know you people are ignorant and it's my fault." Paul said, "You people are ignorant and it's your fault." I think we need to say more of that kind of state, more of that kind of philosophy. There are a lot of people in the world that are in the circumstances that they hewed out for themselves. They are reaping what they have sown. They have been lazy and they're homeless. I'm not saying all people are that way, but I'm saying that's true of many people. Let's take responsibility for ourselves, for who we are and what we do. Let's not blame others. Not here in America, where there's so much opportunity to be what we ought to be. And as we look at these people, we consider their spiritual condition. And as we consider it, we realize that they needed to know many things that they did not know, of whom we have many things to say. That is, we have many things to teach you, but there is a problem. Paul is telling these people very frankly, I have many things to teach you about Jesus Christ and the Christian religion, but there is a hindrance, and that hindrance is your attitude. These things that I have to teach you are hard to be uttered. That doesn't mean that Paul didn't know how to say them in the sense of not knowing his own teaching and doctrine. But it means these are things that are difficult to explain. They are things that are difficult to interpret. And you're going to have to put your mind to it. You're going to have to concentrate. You're going to have to think, because they're not simple little ABC kinds of things. Paul said, now on this subject, I have much to say to you, but it is difficult to make it clear to you. And one of the reasons that they were a difficult people to teach is because they didn't desire any more information. Seeing ye are dull of hearing. Here were people who had been taught. They had been brought to a certain level of spiritual understanding, and then they had become dull of hearing. The word dull means sluggish, or lazy, or slothful, and it was used to describe the numbed limbs of a sick animal. For instance, after an animal had been sick over a long period of time, when you approached that animal and it attempted to rise and flee from your presence, its limbs would not work well. As it attempted to stand on its legs, they would crumble under it and it would fall again. And Paul uses this word to describe their attitude toward the Word of God. You simply are not interested. You are not passionately desiring the Word of God. If you get some, well, okay, and if you don't get any, well, that's okay also. Ye are desiring, seeing ye are dull of hearing. This has in it the idea of not being that way by nature, not being that way in the beginning. Ye are has in it the idea of a process. You became this way. You're this way because you defaulted. That is, you deliberately walked away from it. You deliberately said, I don't want to involve myself in this. Seeing you're dull of hearing. And this word simply means listening to that which is said with reference to those things that you hear. These people needed to know many things. And Paul had many things to teach them, but they were not stupid. They were not unteachable in the sense of being so low in their IQs they couldn't grasp these truths. They were simply lethargic and lazy, didn't have any direction. They really didn't care for it. They really weren't interested in it. Paul said, because of this, you're immature and childish. For when ye ought to be teachers, though by this time in your spiritual life, you should be teaching other people, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. The word first means the beginning. It's a word that literally means in the beginning. Arche. It's not the idea of first in the sense that some are more important than others. He's just simply saying this is the casting down. This is the first truths that we learn. The word principles means the basic elements. It refers to the fundamental teachings of the Christian religion. They had forgotten them. If you've seen a sundial, you know that on a sundial, there's a little rod that sticks up that casts the shadow. Now, what worth would a sundial be? Of what use would it be if that little rod that sticks up happens to be broken off? No matter how brightly the sun shines, if that little rod that casts the shadow is broken off or destroyed, then there is no shadow pointing to the time of day. Now, this word first principles, or the phrase first principles, comes from that concept. If you're going to have a sundial, there's some things you have to have, and one of them is that little rod that sticks up that casts the shadow. That's the first thing. That's one of the first principles of a sundial. Paul said, you people are like a sundial that doesn't have that rod that casts a shadow. It doesn't make any sense. You can't tell time by it. It can't say anything. And yet most people would say, well, it's a good sundial. It just lacks one thing. And that's sort of the way a lot of people are about their Christian religion. You know, I know these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 things. I have some knowledge. But if you don't have a piece of metal that casts the shadow, then you don't have anything. So there are some things that are very important, and without them you don't have the whole of a thing, even though you may possess some of its parts. And there are people, I'm sure, who are saying, we go to church. We believe the Bible. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and yet with all these facts arrayed, they still have no real speech for God. They give no real information about themselves and God, because an integral part of the system of Christian teaching is mission is missing from their lives. And you cannot give the time of day by using a sundial if that part has been destroyed that casts the shadow. And that's what Paul is telling these people. You've got the semblance of a thing, but you don't do what you're supposed to do. You don't cast the shadow you're supposed to teach. And the implication is we're going to have to reset again that rod that casts a shadow. And you're become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. I think a better translation is this: you have gotten into such a state, implying that they did it themselves, and you have gotten into such a state that you are in constant need of milk. You know, sometimes we can, as perhaps we did Thanksgiving, we can overeat. Sometimes people can abuse their health and abuse their stomach. And then, because of this abuse, the doctor may tell them, look, nothing solid. nothing solid for at least 6 weeks. You must just drink milk and eat food that's been mixed in a blender for the next 6 weeks, no solid food, because we're just going to have to give yourself some time to get used to eating solid food again. And this is exactly what Paul is saying to these people. You have gotten yourself into the circumstance. You have, by your neglect of study and the exercise of reading God's Word, you've gotten yourself into a state spiritually where for the next little while you're just going to have to drink milk and eat baby food because you've gotten yourself into this circumstance. And you're not prepared mentally, spiritually, you're not prepared to receive these great Christian truths that I want to teach you. You are become. The word milk here, really, it implies the one who uses milk as much as the word implies the substance of milk itself. Sometimes the rabbis, as they taught young men, would call them sucklings. That is, here are these sucklings coming to class to get milk. And that's what this word implies, probably taken from Paul's experience, not only as a student of a rabbi, but as a teacher of young Jewish boys himself. Here are the children, here are the young, the suckling ones, the ones who are not fed solid meat. Paul said, that's what you have become. Now, as we think of strong meat, don't think of steak, that is beefsteak, or sausage or pork. That's not the idea. Strong has in it the idea of solid, not just meat in the sense of beef or pork, but it has in it the idea of that which is solid, and it means that which adults eat as opposed to that which infants eat. Why are these people in this spiritual state? Well, they had not grown spiritually, and then they had become lazy. And there's another reason, and it's a very obvious reason, and that is they didn't use their Bibles. They didn't use the material they had. They didn't use the Word of God that they possessed. Now, I know they didn't have the New Testament. They probably had some portions of the New Testament, the early writings, but they had the Old Testament. And they could have used the Old Testament as a source of strong meat so that they might grow and become mature people of God. Notice what Paul says in verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For everyone who still has to use milk is unskillful. And that means without experience. He doesn't have experience to talk about what is right. It means that these people had not used the Bible, the Word of God, here referred to as the oracles of God, principally the Old Testament. They had not used them enough to be an experienced user of the Bible. You know, you can know a lot of music, but be unable to play even the simplest tune. There are many of you that know a great deal of music, but you can't play the piano. You make a big mess out of it because you haven't trained, you haven't practiced, you haven't kept up your technique. And that's what Paul is saying here. That if you're going to be a person who knows the Bible, you'll be a person who uses the Bible. Is that a ridiculous statement to make? If you're going to play the piano, you've got to practice, 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 right? If you're going to understand the Bible, you've got to practice, practice, practice. And these people, through neglect, literally had become inexperienced in handling or explaining, learning the Word of God. And I've said this, and I believe it's the truth. You'll never know much about God until you know much about God's Word. The idea that there's some process by which men are infused unconsciously with all the truths of God is an absolute lie. That is not how the Holy Spirit of God works. Through the process of some divine osmosis, where if you'll just expose yourself to God, then God will allow the truths of God to seep into you like a lamp wick soaks up oil. Until you study the Word of God, and until you use the Word of God, until you're skillful in the use of God's Word, you will not know much about God. And often what you do know will be perverted. Will not be an absolute fact. It'll be a perverted fact, which is a lie. Now Paul said you need to grow into maturity. Strong meat, that solid food, belongs to them that are of full age. The word full age means complete or mature. Those who assume adult responsibilities. Even those who by reason of use, now here's where we get the word exercise, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Reason of use is the word from which we get habit. These people did something until it became a habit. That is, the people who understand God's Word. Adult, mature Christians are people who have studied and learned until that has become a habit of their life. Paul implies that these people studied and learned, and yet they were not passionately interested in the truths of God until they began to neglect that seeking and looking and learning, and they abandoned it before it became a habit. You know, there are some things that you can do, and it cannot be said that you have the habit. And these people evidently approach the Word of God with a carelessness, with a casualness, that after they had been involved with it for a little while, it became a chore. They had to think about it before they did it. They had to force themselves to do it. They had to make themselves do it, rather than it becoming a habit of life. You know, there are good habits and bad habits. And most of us have a lot of bad habits with a few good habits. But habits are not evil in themselves. We ought to habitually do the things that God has taught us to do. And I think that's one of the reasons that we get misunderstandings about all the things we're supposed to do. That we get the idea of psyching ourselves up to do it, of motivating ourselves, because unless we motivate ourselves, we won't do it. It's like the guy that sells some product that is very difficult to sell. When he gets up in the morning and he goes to take a shower, he has a motivational tape that he puts in a tape player in his bathroom so he can listen to this and get psyched up for it. And then while he's dressing, he's got another tape that he listens to that gets him psyched up to it. And then while he's driving to work, he's got another one in his automobile. And after about 3 hours of exposure to this, then he can go and do it for a little while. But he burns out after a while. And the least thing is so discouraging. And I see Christians like that today. Christianity is not a habit. It's forced. They have to listen to a lot of motivational tapes. They just can't do anything till they get their daily supply of turning it on and turning it up. No wonder after a few years they're tired and worn out, and give up and quit. It's just not a habit. A church going can be a habit. And if church going is a habit, then it's difficult for you not to go rather than difficult for you to go. But strong meat belongs to those who are full age, that who are mature people, who because of constant use of habit, they have acquired by past experiences now a normal condition, have their senses, that is their faculties. It means the faculties or senses of perception. They have them honed and trained. They have been exercised. To train by exercise. To discern means to distinguish, make a judgment between two things. Solid food is for full-grown men who, on account of their constant use, have trained their faculties to be able to distinguish what is right and what is wrong. You know, almost everything there is, there is a training session. You know, sometimes a person goes deer hunting, and the first day they go, they kill a deer. But most people, that's not what happens. They go and they don't even see one. Even though people come by and say, "Didn't you see the deer come by?" You know, it's not as easy as you think to find a deer that's out in its natural habitat. Most people look up. It had to be 40 feet tall. They're looking for a deer. You know, "I don't see a deer anywhere." Well, they're down here. You know, they're... And then after you see one and you become experienced, then, you know, I've been with guys who've been experienced deer hunters, and they're always saying, "There goes one. I'm where? And it's gone now." I'm not experienced in that. Paul said these people, because they weren't experienced, because they didn't form the habit, then they weren't capable of discerning between good and evil. They couldn't make the right choice. When two things confronted them, a decision was to be made because they had not exercised themselves in the use of God's Word. They didn't know what decision to make. And you know what people usually do when they're that immature and they're faced with a decision? They don't know what to do. You know the problem they usually have, what they normally do? They normally ask the preacher. And after that, they look upon their pastor as sort of a priest. "I don't need to understand the Bible. My pastor knows the Bible. If I have any problem, I just ask him." That develops a priest kind of relationship. And I'll be frank with you. I want to teach you so that you don't ever have to ask me what's right and what's wrong. I want you to be so mature in your understanding of God's Word that you don't come to me and say, "But Brother Penn, I thought about doing this, but I don't know whether it's right or wrong." You ought to mature in your own spiritual growth so that you know what's right and what's wrong because you have exercised yourself in the things of God, and now you can discern between good and evil. God help us not to develop a Baptist priesthood where the preacher knows what's right, But all the other people don't know anything. And I thank God I pastor this church, because I think you people are mature in that you have spiritual discernment to decide things for yourself and your family and know what is right and what is good. Frustrating to pastor people who don't know the very first thing about the Christian religion. And I'm glad I don't have to do that. Lessons that we should learn. Number one, there are untold truths to learn for me and for you. They're untold in number, and they're untold in their glory. We have not learned everything here, only minute things. There's still the book to know and truths to learn. Second thing I believe we ought to learn from this is that learning truth is its own incentive. Those who don't care cannot be tricked into caring. Those who care cannot be forced from truth. Once you have nursed from the breast of Mother Truth, and once you have eaten solid food from the table of Father Truth, you cannot be driven away by the so-called offensive acts that are committed today against the people of God. Those who care cannot be forced from the truth. You don't have to beg hungry people to eat, nor do you have to coerce thirsty people to drink. They do it as a natural result of their perceived condition. We also need to learn and preach and teach that there is more to Christianity than Jesus saves. It is true that Jesus saves. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. There is far more to Christianity than Jesus saves. And I think we're now reaping a harvest of neglect. That is a harvest because we neglected to teach people the all things of God's Word. Now we face a difficult task, doing God's work with an army of infants. We did neglect teaching people the Word of God. We sort of had the idea we're too busy winning people to teach people. And I think I had that idea. Doesn't mean we shouldn't win people, but it does mean we ought to do all of the Great Commission, which is to win and baptize and then teach. That's important. It's important to the people. It isn't just that it's important to me to get something off my shoulders. It's like, you know, being obligated. That's really not so. It's best for you to grow up. It's best for you to mature. It's in your best interest to mature. And I can't say I love you if I'm not willing to spend time and energy to see that you mature as a Christian. Christian maturity is not easily achieved. It is more than a t-shirt with some catchy phrase printed on it. It's more than perfect attendance pens. It's more than what one gets from motivational tapes and seminars. Christian maturity is not competition. Christian maturity is not being a winner, it's being a loser. It is a long and difficult process that involves the exercise of Christian endeavor, all of it. Prayer, study, witnessing, giving, and all of it in proper proportion, and all in the way that Jesus taught his disciples. You know, it's strange to me that Baptist people say, "This is our all-sufficient rule of faith and practice." But we can't find the answer to our problem in this book. We'll have to go somewhere else. Why do we say that? It isn't true, people. You know why we don't know the answer as it is revealed and unfolded in the Word of God? Is because we don't know the Word of God. And if we will look to the Word of God and do things like they are taught in the Word of God, not misusing the Word of God, not perverting the Word of God, not trying to make it say something we want it to say, or trying to make it say something we don't want it to say. Just look at it, interpret it correctly, and love the truth that comes from it. If we'll do that, we'll do God's work, God's way. There are a million books, and that's no exaggerating, written on how to do things. But this is the greatest how-to book in the world, folk. You say, but I don't understand it. Well, it's because we're immature. It's not that we should cast aside the Bible because we're too immature to understand it and grasp its truths. We ought to grow up. Not throw it away because it's too difficult. We ought to grow up so we can understand it. So we can do it. That is, whatever God wants done, the way God wants it done. And I'm alarmed at how we're encouraged oftentimes to abandon our search of the Word of God. To abandon it in the hope of finding something that'll succeed. And whatever we succeed in that is not based in the Word of God is not success. It is failure. So, well, you mean you'd like for our teenagers to be spiritually mature? That's right, I really would. You say, you mean you think we ought to teach the Bible to the preschoolers and not just entertain them? I sure do. And I mean not just teach them about the Bible and a few little stories here and there so they can be entertained and be quiet while the big folk are in here having church. But I mean so that it becomes a literal part of their lives and their personality and their character.